The Bible reading this morning will be taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, and reading from verses 1 to 9. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, and they waited for the moving of the waters. From time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters. The first one into the pool after each such disturbance would be cured of whatever disease they had. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. Amen.
So, do you want to be made well? What does Jesus' intervention really show us? What I think we could have heard in this short reading, if we weren't giving it our full focus and attention, it could be a twee little story, relatively unremarkable in itself, that the remarkable Jesus had once again healed on the Sabbath. Jesus had come across a destitute man, he'd restored him to health in his usual miraculous style, as he commonly did. And he really didn't care a fig that he was doing this healing on the Sabbath. For us in this account of Jesus in John's Gospel, we could rest content that this fine man, this Jesus, is our leader. We just have to ask him and he will help us. He will hear our prayer and he will answer it. Isn't all that lovely? We can go home for lunch with a fuzzy warm feeling about our Jesus, about his miracles, his kindness, and about our decision to follow him. All is well in that cozy, blessed world. And to an extent, all of that is fine, even very fine. But if that's the depth of our analysis, I'm sure we'll miss a series of vital points. What might they be then? Should have changed it to the man by the pool. Did you notice that this blind, lame, paralyzed man never actually asked Jesus for help? Instead, Jesus just offered it. When Jesus saw him lying there, and he knew he'd been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And this is different right away from a whole lot of the accounts we can remember of Jesus helping people. The woman tugging at the hem of his cloak. The men actually opening the roof to lower their friend into the house. Jairus pleading for his daughter. The Roman centurion asking Jesus to heal his servant. All these people beg Jesus for help, but not this blind man at Bethesda. He said nothing at all to start the interaction. I mentioned 2 weeks ago that we're often met and helped by guardian angels when we haven't even asked. I mentioned my late parents falling down a Scottish mountain and then being rescued in miraculous circumstances, and my own experience immediately after a heart attack in 2017, when I reckon that about a dozen angels crossed my path in no time. And right after that service, Moira Kennedy told me of good Samaritans who helped her pretty much unasked when she was in a tricky situation in Kenya years ago. All of us in a tricky spot, whatever it might be, like the blind, lame, paralyzed man, need to be ready to be helped, even though we haven't asked for the help. And we must also be on alert because this God of ours may call on us at any time to do the helping of others in plight, even without them asking. This is Jesus' way, proactive, not reactive. The first challenge then for us is if we want to be like Jesus, we too need to be proactive in our caregiving. Saying to someone, I'm really busy today, but I will probably be free in a week or two, is not the Jesus way. We need to be ready to help anytime when we are the ones needing help, and we must be open to accept that help when it comes. There's a good chance God himself has directed it. My second point is what I'm calling receiver perspective. I think we humans sometimes get a bit mixed up about our roles in life. We say strange things like, don't look a gift horse in the mouth, which basically means if you're offered a free gift, you'd be nuts to reject it. But this is not Jesus' way. Instead, he says to the stricken man, do you want to be made well? He gives the man a chance to say no. Jesus' humility is such that cure or recovery remains the choice of the man who's unwell. The man at Bethesda then made it clear he wanted to be well, but he just couldn't get to the pool in time before the stirred waters became still again. If we don't hear the question, do you want to be made well, because we're either so possessed with ill-judged self-worth or so distracted by self-pity, then our receiver perspective is completely misaligned. We won't hear the question, far less apply ourselves to it. We always need to be ready to accept God's grace. We need to be open, not closed. So if in our prayer life we are grumbling to God about issues which are troubling us, or other burdens or behaviors, we need to hear Jesus' question, do you want to be made well? Maybe we get angry about it. Maybe we're inclined sometimes to tell lies or commit other sins. Maybe we don't say sorry enough or thank you enough or I love you and mean it enough. Whatever, we have to be open to God's approach. And we will inevitably improve our response if we raise the topic in prayer. What does Jesus then say to us in prayer life, in our prayer life? What is our receiver perspective? Do we want to be made well? What we are on is not a one-way street. We must really commit to receiving Jesus' grace. He will always share it, but we need actively to accept it. As I said last week, God holds out his hand for us to grasp in his journey with us. It was only after I preached here last week that I stumbled over Isaiah 41, verse 13, in a Bible study I was doing last week. And in that verse, 41:13, it reads thus, for I hold you by your right hand, I, the Lord your God, and I say to you, don't be afraid, I am here to help you. God indeed holds out his hand to us. The third point I'm calling the Jesus solution, and it's a very short point. In verses 8 and 9, Jesus said to the man, stand up, take up your mat, and walk. Verse 9, at once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. The man in the story simply accepts Jesus' instruction. And we might say, well, of course he would. But are we minded always to trust Jesus and simply to accept his instruction? Or do we sometimes like to get a second opinion? Can I really walk just because Jesus says so? Can I reduce my tendency to sin just because Jesus says so? When he shows me the better path in life, will I stop sinning and stick to it just because he says so? And the fourth thing, circumventing the rules. Yes, Jesus healed on the Sabbath. He clearly saw that his role was to bring love, to bring care, to bless people. In Mark 3, verse 4, he asked the Pharisees this question, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? It's not that Jesus was a fiendish lawbreaker. Instead, he always had his priorities right. How often do we say, I'm sorry, I'd love to help, but we can't do that? The law or the church law does not permit it. That's simply not allowed, we can't do it. I'd love to help, but I'm sorry, I can't. Well, Jesus clearly thought that if the rule in question made no sense, then he would work around it. Bring love, bring care, bring compassion exactly where it's required and when it's required. Don't let a tiresome law get in the way if it prevents love. And if I could take you back to my preaching, way back in the middle of February, you may remember even if faintly, my preaching on Luke's version of the Beatitudes from the Sermon on the Plain. The title was, Oh My Goodness Me, Did Jesus Really Say That? The point was that Jesus was preaching, Blessed are the poor, the hungry, those who weep, those who are reviled, and woe to the rich, the well-fed, and those of good reputation. I'm not going to revisit all that now. The man we would probably describe as full of woe, though, was the man who received Jesus' blessing at Bethesda. This Jesus is our leader. We just have to ask him and he will help us. He will hear our prayer and he will help us. But only and if and only if we're receptive to his love. We can indeed go home for lunch with a fuzzy warm feeling about Jesus and our decision to follow him. But none of it's really cozy in this world where we meet Jesus. Instead, we are challenged to be proactive. We are inspired to develop the right receiver perspective. We are provoked to trust Jesus' ideals and actively to get ready to get round tricky human rules if they don't work in context. And all of this, I think, falls into perfect context on this Communion Sunday. I have a few questions for you to chew over. Do we really hear Jesus offering us help in communion with him? Isn't he, in effect, always asking us, do you want to be well again? Isn't he asking us to trust him in our faithful journey? Are we willing to bend those narrow rules if he asks? And is our act of communion truly a connection with Christ's way of doing things? When we come to the Eucharist, we always remember Jesus' Last Supper promise of the new covenant between God and his people. Here in communion today, he is again offering us caring relationship with him. We just have to commit proactively and lovingly to his outstretched hand, asking us if we want to be made well again. We just have to say yes, and then we will lift our own mat and walk with Jesus in his loving example. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So now Phyllida will lead us in prayer, and then Reverend Brenda will be taking over for communion.